Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 153 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled The Book of Jeremiah, Lesson 10. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
As we continue here in the book of Joel, via Ezekiel, via everything that I do, we see we are now in the book of Jeremiah. There again, my hopes, I'm going to keep expanding our, I started with Ezekiel, which is not the beginning. We just started there for some reason. And we want to keep expanding the way God thinks and the way God relates to people and to his people. And I've said it before, and if you'll allow me, I'll say it again. God, in the beginning, he was speaking to mankind as a group of people, and then he decided to choose Abraham, one man, and it's through his descendants that the earth would be blessed. And God poured out his wisdom and his understanding, and through this people, he for some reason, he narrowed it down to a group of people, and you can call them special if you want to. Looks like to me God picked on them. They went from captivity to whipping post to pride to. Looks like to me that the Jews are just a good representation of humanity, because God chose them in which to reveal our shortcomings and also to reveal unto them, to give to the earth the truths that he holds. So when we look at these Old Testament books, we need to understand that God is revealing who he is to the earth through them. Now we come up to this day that we're in, and year 2000 and 2020, and he shifted gears and went to a no name. He's not speaking to us through the Jewish nation today, but he is speaking to us. And let me give definition to that. I've said this before. Once God says something, he doesn't have to take it back. Once he says it, it just is and will be forevermore. So God watches what he says. He says what he says with great intention, because he's not going to take it back. And once God says it, it's law and it's created. But God sort of held Israel back for a season, it says in Hebrews chapter 11. He said he let a blindness come upon them. A blindness in part has happened to the nation of Israel, that the fullness of the Gentiles might come in. So we know and see that we're living in a time that of the Gentiles, and we also know it has an end, because it has a place of completion or fullness. So we find ourselves now, God dealing not to the earth necessarily through the nation Israel, but he's speaking to this secret called the church. Here we find ourselves the secret that has been revealed to the earth, which is called the church of God. It's for that reason that I guess I do get offended when people come against the church, whether it's a good one or a bad one. I don't care. I just need to keep your lip off of it, because this is God's secret revealed. And now, I'm not saying the church does everything perfectly, because we know we don't, because we're in it. But yet God has now chosen the church into which to reveal his truth. And so we find ourselves in this. So when we go back to these books of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and we're understanding that God's revealing his heart, but in all of these that I've brought up here lately, in these books, they speak about the future. And the future and what's going to happen, not only are they talking about then, but they're talking about future events and future things that are going to be happening, and they hadn't missed one yet. And we're going to see that there's a lot of futuristic things. Now, with God, we learn through these prophetic books that God might give correction, but he always has redemption in mind. Anytime God gave Israel a prophetic word, it always had a redeeming factor in it. And so God, the reason God moved and spoke, and it appears to us that God has to deal with us in a way that our consequences are to be a teacher unto our path. When we make a wrong step, we have consequences. So we know that's the nature of humanity, but it's also the way that God deals with man. And so we're wanting to, at times, to use God's grace to keep us from experiencing our consequences. Well, it goes against the whole teaching pattern. Grace doesn't keep us from experiencing consequences. The grace of God says, okay, here's your consequences. Now, once you get done with them, let's get up and let's go again. So the consequence never disqualifies you. That's the key. We're not disqualified because of consequences. We're learning. We're being taught. And that's what we see here with the nation of Israel. And God gives them these consequences, but he always has redemption in mind. So there's not anybody that comes into this church house, anybody that you encounter in your life, that we say that I've had it and I give up on them. Even though I've had a time or two I've done that, that's still not the heart of God. I've had a couple of times I said, I'm going to have to give them for another because give them to somebody else because I think I'm running out of gas. And he said to me, well, it's a good thing somebody didn't do that with you. And there's the truth. So it causes us to back up and to, we never need to consider that give up, quit is an option. If you've got it out there as an option, then guess what the enemy's going to do? He's going to up the ante so you will use your option. So therefore, we start seeing what's the mind of Christ, what's the mind of God, and he teaches us these things. Now, in lesson 10, Jeremiah, we see as we start to expand just a little bit before we get back into the book, that we had this set of prophets, and I want to expand the prophets here just a little bit. Now, with the nation Israel, we know that after, this isn't textbook, but what I do in my brain, I know that you had the first king was Saul, you know, then we get on up to David and Solomon. We know that's where the king started, and so I automatically know that was about 1,000 B.C. It's just, it's give or take 100 years or maybe 50 years, but somewhere in there. I know the disbursement of Babylon somewhere around 500. So I got the kings up here at 1,000 B.C. I've got the Babylon, this disbursement somewhere around 500. And I break this thing up in 500-year patterns, even though it's off a couple years either way, to try to get in my mind, because prophetically you got to get just a little chronological order in what's happening. So just remember, 1,000 years before Christ, you had your first kings. 500 years before Christ, you had the Babylonian captivity. And so with that in mind, with you had after Solomon, you had Rehoboam and Jeroboam, that we know that Israel, we went over that teaching, it split, it divided. You had the northern kingdom, and you had the southern kingdom. You had Israel, and you had Judah. So when you read the Bible, a lot of times, and of course, Israel, the upper kingdom, it finally got destroyed. You ended up with Judah, and the line of David and Abraham was through Judah. So here, we start seeing that you got a different set of prophets for the north and a different set of prophets for the south. When we get into, so when you're reading in Jeremiah, he speaks sometimes of the nation Israel, but he's speaking to Judah, which is the lower half of the, when the tribes split, which is actually two tribes formed Judah. So I hope that wasn't confusing, but I'm just kind of showing you how I divide it up so I have quick reference in my mind, where am I, or how am I navigating this. So with Israel, we see one of the first prophets here you can see was somewhere around 810-790 B.C. We had Jonah. So since I know that the king started at 1,000, I know this is after the king started, right? So you kind of get that thinking in your mind there. But I also know it's before the great Babylonian disbursement because it's pre-500. So here we go into Joel. Now, we did that book maybe a year ago now. We did that big book sometime. And But in that book, you can see the time period there, so you know it's before the disbursement of into Babylon. And then we go in to the book of Amos, which is one of my favorite books. He was a farmer. And then you go into Hosea, and then you got Isaiah, then you got Micah. And now, so those were basically your prophets to Israel. So then when we're reading these books, we know that it's speaking to the northern kingdom more. It's more of a prophet just to that group. And so then we get into Judah. Then we got Nahum, and we got Zephaniah. Then we got Habakkuk and Jeremiah, which we are in now. And so these tend to deal just, or they're the prophets of Judah. Let me say that, even though the information crosses over. So then we go into captivity. So you see Jeremiah, the book that we're studying now, is kind of pre-captivity. So, but yet he was around during the captivity when it happened, and then he probably didn't make it that long after that. And so then we have what we call captivity, and that's where you start into, you kind of call it the prophets of captivity. You got Daniel, and you got Obadiah, which is an incredible book, and then you got Ezekiel, which we've done Ezekiel, and we got Daniel. But now in the captivity prophets, we start getting this idea with Ezekiel and especially with Daniel, we start getting this idea that heaven is not far away. It's just kind of right here or something. We know with I said it last week with the prophecy of Ezekiel, said that heaven's open. And we tend not to consider, God doesn't waste it. That's why I say God says everything and he doesn't have to, there's not anything that's in that picture that's not for information. So when the heavens open, he could see into there. I knew that it was probably within his natural eyesight that he could see that chariot. So it lets me in, and it says that the heavens opened. So it starts leading us into this idea. And the reason I say that is because the Jews started having that idea that it's, oh, okay, it's right here. And then I think I gave the scripture a week or two ago about in Hebrews, we got a great cloud of witnesses, you know. Well, so it starts giving us this idea that heaven is not that far away. Now, to a prophetic person, it's very important. If you say you want to prophetically see, hear, or whatever, you've got to, to me, it's very important to see that heaven is really near. It's just right here. It's in another dimension, maybe, for sure, but it's just right here. As the old farmer said, that puppy could break open at any time. He said that thing could happen. When we talk, we start thinking about heaven or an outpouring of God or whatever. I'm not trying to make a case for where heaven is, but I'm trying to make a case for where it's not. Spiritually, it's very important to identify that it's right here. Because there's like a relationship you'll develop with the spirit world because you understand she's right here at me. She's right here. It's right here with me. And it doesn't take much for it to break through even in a dream or in an impression. Or if you're always thinking about way off somewhere, your spirit man will cut off in trying to identify with it for some reason. I'm not saying 100% of the people do, but it works well if you understand it is, you know, it's right here. Like when we do worship here, do I think that the heavens can hear it? I do. I really, does anybody know what a check valve is on a water pipe? You know, a check valve. A check valve, it's got a little valve in there, and it means that the water can flow one way, but it can't flow back. It checks it. Well, for four reasons that I can't show you in the scriptures. Now, I believe the heavens are like a check, spiritual check valve. I believe that they can see down here a whole lot more than we can see there. I think they got a view in where we don't have a view out. I think it's a check valve there for some reason. And I can give you some reasons on why I come to that conclusion, but to identify that the heavens are right here, all of a sudden, it becomes more real. The spiritual world all of a sudden takes on this on a realness to it. Now, if you can hear this, salvation is salvation to you. But you make salvation real to you. Whereas a lot of people say, I'm saved, but it's not doing them a dime's worth of difference. You know what I'm saying? You might have your name on a roll book, but it's not doing you any good because you're not making it real. As believers and as Christians, we make it real. We're the ones who make it real. In other words, so we get up here and preach, and we pray for the sick. Why do you pray for the sick? To make it real. Why do you give the gospel for people to be saved? We make it real by giving the gospel. Don't think it's just going to soak into the world or something. It's out here, and we are the conduit or the agents, which has one foot in the heavens and which we can't see, and another foot on the earth, which we can see. And we are the conduit or the agents in which the kingdom of God is made real to the earth. And I know we don't have this down very well. I'm not saying we got a wonderful model to go to. But that's what the reflection the scriptures are giving us. And here in Jeremiah, when you start seeing in these prophets, they all of a sudden everybody starts realizing, hey, their spiritual world is right here at us. How in the world do you think these angels don't know how to get a ticket from heaven, and they have to get it 10 days in advance because it takes them that long to get here? It's not the way it works. They're here in the heavens. They're here in the spirit. They're here in this place. And so once we start entertaining that truth and living out of that truth, what happens is things start to happen because you start realizing it. And just like I said with Paul, said, you got a great cloud of witnesses. And he said, hey, you need to let this great weight of sin, you might want to set it aside, lest you be embarrassed. That's a paraphrase. But lest you be embarrassed of your sin, because everybody's watching. You got a great cloud of witnesses that are watching us. And I'm asking God somehow to erase it out of the memories or whatever, because I have some very embarrassing things I have been seen at. If you think we're under surveillance with cameras now, you ought to see heavens. I'm telling you what's the truth. We in trouble. So, the reason I say that is we want to keep this in mind. We've got to mature and move forward so we can move our seeing and our hearing, our placement, we can move ourselves forward. I can't tell your brain something. It's like I said in prayer, that the heart has to discern. I can persuade the mind, but the heart feels. The heart feels. You can feel, if I say heaven's right here, yada, 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 your brain hears it. Your heart either feels it or doesn't. That's the reason a lot of times you can say things of the Spirit and you can feel it. You don't understand it, but you just feel it. Or you sing a worship song and you feel the presence of God. You don't understand the presence of God. You feel the presence of God. And so everything that happens is trying to come against the feeling of the presence of God. So if we come in with disunity, or somebody talks about this one or about that one, I don't care if it's true or not. It has nothing to do with it. We're wanting to come together in unity for the presence of, so we can feel the presence of God. Now, the feeling of the presence of God in the heart of man grows. It gets bigger. And it's done through expectation of the Spirit. So these prophets are giving us this idea. When you get to Daniel, Obadiah, Ezekiel, we start seeing, especially Daniel, Ezekiel, this idea that the heavens, open heavens, are close. That's where it starts coming in on the scene here. All right, then you have these prophets about the return. That's after captivity. You got Haggai, Zechariah, and you got here also Malachi. just trying to give you a little group of references here. And you can see the years and the dates. You see where the captivity is around 534, 6. You see right there. Well, it's really closer to 600s and 500s, but I just say 1,000 kings, 500 captivity, and zero Jesus. Then I kind of boogie with that. So now in Jeremiah, as we were moving towards an open heaven, some of this understanding, and I was trying to lead us up into Jeremiah's prophecy or declaration that he gave. You've got to understand that the heavens and these, I mean, when the angel comes to Jeremiah, and when the supernatural met the natural, and you see, I can say supernatural, and it automatically offends my mind. I don't know why. All of a sudden, my mind goes tilt. Okay, you mean, okay, all right, I got to go somewhere else with my thinking because my mind goes tilt. There's always a little lawyer in here saying, is supernatural, is that real, or is it not real, or is it this or that? So somewhere along the line, a choice has to be made. And I say, okay, I'm going to choose by faith to go into the supernatural realm, which my mind's constantly fighting, but my heart feels it to be true. Does that make sense? My heart feels it to be true. And so anyway, I'm going to say it. with the riots and the unrest of today. Okay, there's part of me say, oh, everybody just needs to keep their mouth shut and this needs to do that. And I asked the Lord about it. I said, Lord, okay, help me here, Lord. There is a spirit. There's not a racist bone in my body. I can honestly say that. I was the only white guy in a black band in my whole high school life. And my best friends were black. To be honest with you, we didn't know the difference. But we were just raised together. But I found myself with this being offended a little bit. Not much, just a little bit. I'm like, where did that come from? So I noticed that what's being poured out to the earth, if you weren't racist, you could be now. Because there is you got to understand the way this stuff unfolds spiritually. First, we get COVID-19. Virus. Then we get riots. Okay, we now have a spiritual virus. It can be passed. It's contagious. This is what we got. And this is what we're going to have. Four things that will happen. I'll go ahead and prophesy to you. We had COVID-19. We're going to have the riots and the unrest. Next thing you're going to have is weather patterns. The weather's going to just going to show out and show up and say something's wrong. Then the fourth one is all three of those, again, are going to combine for a fourth. Now, I pray that's not true, but that's what I've seen. So, but here's what the Lord said to me. I said, Lord, there's just a tad of racism in me, and I'm not even a racist person. I'm going to have to look up and read it and see what I got. And I said, why is that? And he said, Alan, there is something trying to be said. But the evilness, the evil one, is hijacking what's trying to be said. So by the very, I'm not too sure about what's trying to be said. I think I do. But I do know this, evil is hijacking it so that ever what's trying to be said can't be heard. That's what the Lord said to me. So by very fact of the presence of evil in the thing, I mean, just totally hijacking the cotton picking thing, is proof to me somebody's got something to say or the evil wouldn't be trying to not say it. Now, that's what the Lord said to me. I don't know what y'all want to do with it. And I wasn't even planning on even saying that because that is a touchy subject. But I just gave you my own personal experience with the Lord and with myself. And so we ought to understand now this thing is like this virus. It's been poured out. We all can get a little or not. If it's okay to get a little and get over it, now you got some antibodies to it. Right? Is get it, get over it, say, Lord, I repent or whatever I need to and all that, and let's go on. Now we all got some antibodies to that thing. So now Jeremiah is a priest. He turned prophet, and God used Israel to create a history in which to teach us. Now, we know that, and I've been over this. He's created that history. Israel discovered that God was in heaven, and heaven was near them. Now, that is huge for us as a church because we believe in the supernatural side of heaven and of the kingdom of God, even though we don't see much of it. Now, let me even put this in there. We don't see much of it. But there is more happening than we see. I'm not the proof text that God's moving based on what I see. Because I have noticed that God blinds me from what he doesn't want me to see. And he lets me see what he wants me to see. So there's a lot more happening than I can see. And I'm saying, come on, God, let me graduate just a little bit here. I promise you I'll handle it good. You know, let me see just a little bit more. And but that's up to God. So there's a lot more going on. So I want to be faithful. Do y'all all agree with me that God's doing more than we can see? All right. So we got to decide, what are we going to be faithful to? Are we going to be faithful to God proving over and over and over to us that he's doing something? Or can we say that's the truth and we're going to stay faithful to the truth? That's good. Now, I promise you God has healed more people that we've prayed for than we know. I just do. Now, the aggravating part, I don't know who you are, which one it is. So we're just going to have to pray for everybody. You see, we're going to keep praying for everybody. We're going to do it with faith. We're going to do it with believing. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. That's why we do it. That's what Christians do. That's what followers of God do. That's what we do. And then we leave and trust God for the rest. We learn this in Ezekiel's first vision about the heaven. And according to Ezekiel's first vision, God's chariot was in the surrounding atmosphere. And the spirit world was near because Paul said this, and I showed you that in 12:1. It says, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witness. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, another thing there is Paul's also saying, and he's letting you know, we got this, you're surrounded by these witnesses. And not only can they see the sin, the answer is yes. But our sin keeps us from seeing there. It ensnares us. So I know that it gives me this idea that I can see. There's more to be seen in the spirit world than I've seen. There's more opportunity for me to see. But God's asking me to, if we were any kind of object, we would be a hot air balloon. And don't take that. Please don't be offended. Hot air balloon, not by its content, but that we have to lay aside sandbags. We have to lay aside weights so that we can rise up, so we can see, so we can rise up. You got to throw the weight off, and you will go up. But the weight holds us down from seeing, and that's the idea. And I want everybody in this room to be a prophetic person to see God move, and we are in trying times now. There's no doubt about it. We are in trying times, so this is a wonderful opportunity just to sit down and shut up and say, God, speak to me. What do I need to hear? If we'll always turn it personally, that God's trying to give us personal revelation, it will help. So with Isaiah, he even said that you would come down, the mountains might show your presence. I did this also. When Jesus was baptized, it says that he knew the heavens were opened, and it said this over top of him, and I'm leading up to where we left off last week. In Matthew 3:16, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and a lightning upon him. So we see here, above Jesus, there was an open heaven. So there is such thing as a real open heaven. It's just not a cliche or a bunch of words. There's something called an open heaven, and that is when the spiritual world opens up. Now, for some reason, God has chosen to use this type of realities in the spirit world that he has created. Now, as we see this open heaven in John 10:9, Jesus says, I am the door, and if any man enters in, he shall be saved and go in and go out. That's the reason the heaven's right here. We leave this body and we go into the heavens, into the spirit world. We're going through a door, and that door is Jesus. So we know that the only way truly into the spiritual world is through who? Through Jesus. When someone comes and says there's another way, you know, with the mysticism there is today and the mystics and all of this, and I've got some calls in the last 2 weeks how they've discovered that Jesus is one way and there's some other ways. I know that's not true. I know there's not but one way to get them babies opened, and it's through Jesus. Jesus is the door. Jesus is that way. In John 1:51, it said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, heaven, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God descending and ascending upon Jesus. Now, the book of Jeremiah is about how determined God is for this open heaven. We've got Christ in you. Now, if the heaven, open heaven is in Christ, Colossians 1:27, to them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I told you, God spoke to the earth. Then God chose to speak to Abraham and a nation. Then he set him aside. Now God said, I'm speaking to the church called the body of Christ. So this is information here to the body of Christ, that if this talks about riches of glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, which is a hope of glory. Now, why does the hope of glory have a hope? The hope is that we will start walking in the understanding and the revelation of Christ in us. It's that revelation. That's the hope glory has. So that hope means that it will or it will not, but it teaches me I have the opportunity to know more about Christ that's in me. And I'm 67 years old, and I feel like I'm in the first or second grade on this topic. I want the revelation of the topic to see more of what this topic is and to see that Christ in you, the hope of glory. Have you ever been around somebody that you walk around with or whatever, talking, you're just like heaven's all over them? Well, it's the open heaven is more evident. And they don't usually walk around fussing at everybody or you know what I'm saying? It's just something about them. Their communion with God is real. It's just totally real. That's the idea that was given us here. There's always an open heaven above you. It is just most of the time we are not living in the awareness of this open heaven. There's much warfare around an open heaven, but God will watch over you. Now, here we go. The warfare is trying to shut down an open heaven. That's what it's about. Because you feel like, if I just quit all this Jesus stuff, quit going to church, I'm just going to go home, so the warfare will go away. You're right. Yep, pretty good thinking. That's the boringest life I've ever heard of, but pretty good thinking. Give me a good fight anytime. Listen, we win. It's not a lost fight. Somebody's got to fight the fight. Somebody's got to fight it. Go home and just get out of the fight. Okay, that's right. Well, if you want, it's okay. But somebody's got to fight it. So we see that this starts going on around us. In Psalms 121, the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And when I always read that scripture, I don't know, maybe never happened, but I got faith for it. I had this imagination that I could go in and out of heaven. And then I run into somebody like Bob Jones, and he said, yeah, I do it like my, yeah, every day. I'm like, you make me mad. You know, and I didn't believe him, and I knew him for 5 years. By the end of the 5 years, I believed him. Then I was jealous, you know, and then I want him to teach me. He won't teach you. You don't teach it. And I kept saying, Bob, how do you do it? You gotta learn how to love. I'm like, okay, yeah, boy, that narrowed it down, right? You gotta learn how to love. That's all I ever got out of the man. So There you go, 5 years. You got no idea. Now, Genesis 5:20, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about at its, this day to save many people alive. So we know that all of this warfare happens for something. It's usually for other people. In other words, the warfare is meant for evil, but God says it's meant for good. Now, if you're a lazy person, this is not your message. If you are a lazy person, you need to quit it, because the disciplines come in. I'm going to show you those right quick. Israel was not willing to fight the spiritual battles to keep their promised land. Now, here's what you got to understand. Everyone has a promised land. Everyone will have to fight to get there. Everyone will have to fight to keep it. We have two fights to fight. And that's what I was going to get into this week. We got two fights to fight. But understand this, God's given us promises. Just unless you can catch it, what I'm saying, you will not walk in your promise unless you have a predetermined idea you're going to fight to keep it when he gives it. Can you hear me? You have to have a predetermination within you that you're going to fight to keep what God gives you. God has given us truths, but he expects us to fight to keep them. He'll give you your promise, but you'll have to fight to keep it. Can you hear that? The Lord wanted to say something at the beginning of the teaching. I have no idea what it was, but I trust that it was from him. So let's stand and we'll pray, and we'll pick up here again next week. Lord Jesus, we love you, and I thank you for this day. Lord God, I ask and pray if there's anything that I've said that's not of you that'd fall to the ground. And Lord, we do pray. I pray for the COVID-19, booger would just fall to the ground and cease. Amen. I pray, oh God, for this unrest, that it would cease, yes, that we would not have an opinion except that's of the kingdom of God. I pray, oh God, for these weather patterns that are coming that'll change the earth, that we'll know that you are speaking to the earth. And I pray for protection, oh God, if they do all come together. Yes. Lord God, I ask and pray for our pastor as he comes, fill his heart and his mind, yes, with your ways and your heart, that we might wake up in the morning and say, boy, I'm sure glad to be in the people of God. Be with us in our worship, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.